Good evening, everyone. We wait for a moment while people are joining virtual call. Vineet, we have got 50 people with us. We'll wait for another moment and then we start.
And Anand, you can see my screen as well, right?
I can.
The slide. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Vineet, we have 100 people with us. We can start now.
Thank you, Anand. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Info Edge India Limited earnings conference call for the results of the March quarter and financial year ended 31st March 2024. As a reminder, all participant lines will be on listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for Q&A after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please raise your hand on your screen. Please note that this conference is being recorded. Joining us from management today, we have Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, promoter and vice chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, co-promoter and managing director, and Mr. Chintan Thakkar, director and CFO. Before we begin, I would like to draw your attention to the detailed disclaimer included in the presentation for a good order's sake. Now I will hand over the conference call to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Hitesh.
Thank you, Vineet, and a very good evening, everyone, and welcome to Info Edge's Q4 FY24 earnings call. As always, we'll start with an update on the standalone financial performance, and then we'll cover every business segment in more detail, and then, of course, we'll have time for Q&A in the end. In Q4 of FY24, our standalone billings were rupees 827 crores, a YOY growth of 10%, and revenue was rupees 608 crores, a YOY growth of 8%. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were rupees 856 crores and rupees 637 crores, a YOY growth of 11% and 9% respectively. Operating profits at a standalone level grew 9% year-on-year to rupees 225 crores, and the operating margin was 37%. The standalone business generated cash from operations of rupees 468 crores in Q4 of FY24, a YOY growth of 13%. For the full year FY24, standalone billings were rupees 2,496 crores, and revenue was rupees 2,381 crore, a YOY growth of 5% and 10% respectively. Billings and revenue, including Zwayam and DoSelect, were rupees 2,572 crores and rupees 2,457 crores, a YOY growth of 6% and 10% respectively. Operating profits at a standalone level grew 18% year-on-year to rupees 871 crore, and the operating margin was 36.6%, a YOY growth of 250 basis points. EPS before exceptional items for FY24 stood at rupees 65.9, a YOY growth of 20%. The standalone business generated cash from operations of rupees 1,135 crores for the full year, a YOY growth of 9% year-on-year. While the recruitment business continued to be cash generative, the cash losses in non-recruitment businesses reduced significantly by 75% from a cash loss of rupees 177 crores in FY23 to a cash loss of rupees 44 crores in FY24. The board has proposed the cash balance of Info Edge, including wholly owned subsidiaries, at the end of March 24, stood at rupees 4,191 crores. The board has proposed a final dividend of rupees 12 per share, along with the interim dividend of rupees 10 per share. The total dividend for FY24 is rupees 22 per share, a 16% year-on-year increase. And the headcount of the company as of March 24 end was 5,750 people. Moving on to segment-wise performance and starting with the recruitment business. In Q4 of FY24, recruitment billings grew by 7% to rupees 625 crores, and revenue grew by 3% to rupees 452 crores. Operating profit was lower 2% YOY at rupees 258 crores, and the operating profit margin was 57%. Cash generation from operations was at rupees 458 crores, a YOY growth of 2%. For the full year FY24, for the recruitment business, billings grew by 1% to rupees 1883 crores, and revenue grew by 7% to rupees 1805 crores. The operating profit growth for the full year was 4% year-on-year at rupees 1051 crore, and the operating profit margin for the full year was 58%. Our recruitment business continues to consistently deliver cash flow with cash from operations in FY24 amounting to Rs. 1208 crores. Key operating highlights in recruitment. FY24 was a challenging year for the overall recruitment business, largely because of the slowdown in IT hiring, which is approximately 45 to 50% of our business directly and indirectly, if you include the business from recruitment consultants. The non-IT business segments, especially manufacturing, real estate, travel, tourism, healthcare, pharma, BFSI, et cetera, can sustain growth and helped offset the slower growth in IT to some extent. We continued our efforts of opening new branches in tier 2 and tier 3 cities to penetrate non-IT and SMB segments further. We now operate 79 branch offices all over the country. In Q4, we saw an uptick in billing numbers driven by healthy renewal rates. The billing growth in Q4 was broad-based, with IT also growing at 11% and non-IT growing at 12%, and the consultant segment being flattish. IIMJobs and Naukri Fast Forward also witnessed healthy billing growth of 32% and 29% year-on-year respectively. Naukri Gulf reported a YOY growth of 26% during the quarter, primarily led by growth in new customer count on the platform. Our overall client base increased to 132,000 customers in FY24 from 127,000 customers in FY23. A few of our new businesses like JobHai, AmbitionBox, etc. started monetizing in a small way in Q4. We believe there is significant opportunity in these businesses in the long term, and they have the potential to grow at a much faster pace going forward. We continued investing in both AI, data science and machine learning, and generative AI, and product improvements to enhance user experience and refine our recommendations and search engines. The deployment of multiple functionalities across our products has improved user engagement, experience, and increased productivity and efficiency. Platform metrics continue to remain healthy. The Naukri database is now has 98 million resumes. And average daily app installs were highest in Q4, and the average number of resumes added daily grew by year on year by 40% to 28K. On the job seeker side, we introduced Naukri 360, a comprehensive suite for all career related initiatives, both on and off the platform, reinforcing our position as a modern career brand. Additionally, we've integrated Coding Ninja, making upskilling a central component of our offerings. In March, we also revitalized the Naukri brand to resonate with a newer generation of working professionals. We introduced a fresh, more vibrant brand identity that maintains our legacy and signature visuals while adopting a bolder aesthetic. We unveiled the same in the current IPL season through a couple of brand campaigns that have got good traction. Overall, we are optimistic about the recent improvements in the core Naukri business and the growth of the new sort of emerging product lines and strategic businesses. We plan to monitor the overall growth over the next one or two quarters before confirming a definite recovery. Moving on to the real estate segment. In Q4 FY24, billings grew by 26% to Rs. 131 crore and revenue grew by 23% to Rs. 93 crores. Operating losses reduced by 31% to Rs. 15 crores and cash from operations was a positive 30 crores. A year-on-year growth of 121%. For the full year FY24, billings grew by 24% to Rs. 385 crores and revenue grew by 23% to Rs. 351 crore. Operating losses reduced by 42% to Rs. 69 crore. Cash loss for the full year was Rs. 13 crores, a year-on-year improvement of 82%. FY24 has been a healthy year for 99acres and supported by a favorable macro tailwinds and good execution by the team. The momentum continued in Q4 as well for both the primary and secondary parts of the business. Driven by strong demand and premiumization of supply, prices continued to rise significantly in some markets. Affordability, measured as property prices divided by annual income, also continues to be good. It's improved a lot over the last few years. Unsold inventory levels continue to remain low in the top 8 cities, and many developers continue to see good responses to their new launches. New launch sales continue to be dominated by channel partners. We are working to improve our go-to-market for this segment and grow our market share in the new launch segment. Billing growth in Q4 was driven by growth in both the number of billed customers and improvement in average billing per customer. We saw strong billing growth in metros as well as tier 2 and tier 3 cities. We continue to improve the efficiency of our digital performance marketing spending, using analytics and creative content and audience optimization strategies. Overall, traffic in Q4 grew at 26% year-on-year, driven by growth in new projects and resale traffic. Our app DAU base also grew strongly by 36% year-on-year in Q4. We continue to lead in terms of the quality of traffic, time spent, and brand recall. 99acres continues to focus its investments on growing its user base and delivering a superior platform experience and differentiated content to help its users make the right real estate decisions. Moving on to the Matrimony business, in Q4 of FY24, billings grew by 26% to Rs. 26 crores and revenue grew by 29% to Rs. 24 crores. Operating losses reduced by 59% to Rs. 9 crores. Cash loss was also Rs. 9 crores, a year-over-year improvement of 54%. For the full year FY24, billings grew by 17% to Rs. 85 crores and revenue grew by 10% to Rs. 85 crores. Operating losses reduced by 44% to Rs. 59 crores and cash losses were Rs. 55 crores, a YOY improvement of 56%. The success of the freemium model we introduced a few years ago is clearly reflected in the consistent growth in revenue, organic traffic, and the increase in user profiles on the platform, all achieved alongside a continuous decrease in marketing spending. Our marketing expenses are down 50% year-on-year in Q4 of FY24. All platform metrics like acceptances between users and two-way chats continue to grow aggressively in the quarter. The team maintains its focus on exploring additional ways to monetize platform traffic. In this business, we continue to enhance revenue generation and reduce quarterly losses to achieve break-even soon. Moving on to the education vertical, Shiksha.com. In Q4 of FY24, billings grew by 9% to Rs. 45 crores and revenue grew by 22% to Rs. 39 crores. Operating profit grew to Rs. 6 crores from Rs. 1 crore in the same quarter last year. Cash from operations was 15 crores, which was flattish year on year. For the full year FY24, billings grew by 15% to Rs. 143 crores and revenue grew by 19% to Rs. 139 crores. Operating profit was Rs. 3 crores. Cash from operations was Rs. 24 crores, a YOY growth of 15%. The registrations for MBA and PG courses peaked this year due to campus placement getting impacted, especially in IT-related jobs. New private universities in India, coupled with expansion of course offerings beyond engineering by existing universities, offer an opportunity for Shiksha to expand its footprint further. We continue to invest in making our content more comprehensive and student-friendly in building deep domain expertise in the space. Students' interest in studying abroad in the fall 24 season was impacted by the weak external environment. We continue to make long-term investments in strengthening the Shiksha Study Abroad platform. Moving on to the consolidated financial highlights for the company. At the consolidated level, the net sales for the company stood at Rs. 657 crores in Q4 of FY24 versus Rs. 605 crores for Q4 of FY23. The total comprehensive income stood at Rs. 7,959 crores compared to a loss of Rs. 415 crore in the corresponding quarter ending March 23. After adjusting for exceptional items, the profit before tax in Q4 FY24 was Rs. 324 crores compared to a loss of Rs. 349 crores in Q4 of FY23. Thank you. And we are now ready to take any questions that you have.
Thank you very much, Hitesh. I guess we can begin the questions now. Anand, we can take the questions in the queue.
Thank you so much, Hitesh. Thanks, Vinith. The first question we have from Swapnil from JM Financial. Swapnil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hey, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So I will start with a clarification first, because there was a mention of some advertising spends for Naukri in the current IPL. So any qualitative or quantitative numbers you can share as to how much of these spends would be, and or will there be any impact on our margins in the Naukri business because of these spends?
We can't tell you how much we would be spending this quarter because, you know, the quarter is still on. But yes, we'll be spending a lot more than what we spent in previous quarters this quarter. Whether it'll impact on margins or not in the long run will depend on what kind of revenue growth we get this quarter. So hard to say where margins will land.
Okay. And if I were to extrapolate a few things. Your Naukri billing seems to have bottomed out. A few IT ga also now moving into double digit growth. Consultant business may also start improving in the next one or two quarters. Assuming that happens, how much time do you think will it take for your Naukri business margins to move to 60% kind of levels, which historically used to be the trend? And now they are closer to 57%. If you can quantify in terms of, quarters or some, that would be really helpful.
It's very hard to say because we don't know how demand will pan out. See, but what we've said in the past is that if we are able to grow our revenue, grow our billing by 15-16% year on year, we should be able to maintain margin. If we are able to grow at 20%, that will help us improve our margins. And if we grow at 9-10%, then our margins might take a dip in the short term. And so that will continue to hold.
Okay. And with respect to the revenue or billings contribution from JobA and Ambition Box, can you give a sense first on the revenue model? How much has been the contribution in 4Q? And how quickly do you expect these businesses to ramp up to meaningful levels such that they contribute to the recruitment segment in a meaningful way?
No. So we just started monetizing in Q4. And, right now, our contribution is tiny, the overall sort of number it's minuscule. How fast will this revenue ramp up? Hard for us to say. But all we're saying is that we've started monetizing, and response in Q4 is encouraging. But for the revenue to become meaningful to start impacting our numbers will take several years, in my view.
Okay. And just a last one, your billings growth in the matrimony business seems to be much faster than the competition. What do you think is working for you? And this is despite the fact that your marketing spends have come down meaningfully. Whereas the competition seems to be still spending and not able to grow. So any specific thing you want to call out or, those qualitatively as well is fine.
So if you recall, we changed our model some time back. We started giving a lot of services for free, which we used to charge for earlier. And that hit our revenue for some time. In fact, revenue billings were minus 30% for a while. But we believe that this model change was, important for us. We are a number three player, and for us to sort of stand out and make an impact and get noticed. And, this was required. Now, what's happened over the last 4-5 quarters as a result, or 7-8 quarters as a result of this change, is that our traffic share has grown. We are getting more profiles than earlier. Our market share, our engagement is also a lot better. We are seeing a lot more acceptances on the platform. And now we are slowly pushing the pedal on monetizing, right? And we've introduced new products and services to help us monetize this this engaged audience better, right? And that's why you saw this bump in revenue in Q4, a bump in billings in Q4. We are still tiny in the grand scheme of things, but in the markets where we operate, we have significant share. We are a strong number two player in the Hindi belt, and we are perhaps as big as a number one player when it comes to traffic in the Hindi belt now. Let's see how this pans out going forward here.
If I were to add on to that and ask you, assuming you break even in the next few quarters in this business, what will you focus on? Will you focus on growth at 20-25%, which has happened in this particular quarter? Or would you want to ensure that the profitability also continues to improve in a straight line manner, and maybe you will accept market growth kind of a scenario?
So in the matrimony business, our goal is to break even as quickly as possible.
No, once you break even, my question was once you break even, what will be the strategy thereafter? Will you want to operate at 0% margin or for some time and focus on growth, or will you be expanding your margins? Growth might be slightly slower.
We'll cross the bridge when we get to it. But, we are under no pressure to, make money in the matrimony business. We would rather focus on gaining share, but we would want to break even.
Got it. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Thank you, Swapnil. The next question is from Nitin Jain from UTI AMC. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity congratulations on the good performance. So my first question is on the recruitment business. So the margins have dropped by about 3%, 3 percentage points year on year in this quarter. So would you be able to throw some light here? Like, is it because of an increased ad spend or is there something else that we're missing?
No, margins have fallen because, billing growth was almost flattish last year. And, of course, costs went up, manpower costs. I don't have the details, must have gone up by 10%. Marketing costs must have gone up. Overhead must have gone up. We continue to invest in a few areas. We think growth will come back at some point in time. And we don't want to delay investing in those areas which are important for the long run. So we continue to invest in data science, machine learning. We're expanding our sales team. We are focusing more on growing our non-IT business because IT hiring has been slow. So that's the reason margins took a hit.
Okay. You have indicated that JobHai and Ambition Box have started monetizing. So can you elaborate how we are monetizing and, what kind of growth we can expect here?
So right now, we just started monetizing last quarter, and we were able to get some customers for both Ambition Box and JobHai. These are very early days. The model will evolve as with time. So right now it's hard for us to predict what's going to happen in these two verticals. It's only been a month or two since we took them to market.
JobHai, the model is similar to Naukri, is it? Monetizing model?
Yeah, basically you're monetizing job listings and response.
Okay, and for Ambition Box?
Ambition Box, we are selling a few branding solutions in Ambition Box right now.
Okay, great. For the full year, the difference between billing and revenue growth is notable. Like, it's around 5%. So how do we reconcile this? Like, is there a timing difference or like, is there any leakage happening here? This is for the recruitment business.
Jintan, you want to answer that?
Yeah. So look, we are on a subscription basis model, right? So what happens is that whatever billing that happens in a particular, quarter, the recognition of revenue happens subsequent to that, depending upon the tenure of the contract. Right. So there is no real question of any, leakage per se, because all the invoices that gets booked, in billing will eventually get recognized depending upon the tenure of the contract. The contract is usually 12 months or lesser than, lesser than that period. So the difference is because what happens is, let's say we had a, reasonably encouraging, quarter Q4, right, in recruitment business particularly. So billing has gone up, but the revenue that you are seeing in Q4, by and large, it comes from what the sales have happened in Q1, Q2, and Q3. There will be some element of Q4 as well in that revenue, but mostly it would be Q1, Q2, Q3. That's why when there's a sharp rise or a sharp decline, the billing will tell you actually what the real impact on the business is rather than the revenue. Revenue is more a derivative that comes from the billing. That's why we keep talking about the billing numbers.
Right. So it's more to do with timing.
Yes, it's timing. And the maximum is 12-month time, but it reconciles, eventually.
It's basically about the fact that you're recognizing a revenue as it accrues. Yes. So if there's a 1-year subscription, you recognize 365 every day.
Right.
So the 12-month subscription, you recognize over 12 months, the revenue, even though you may have collected the money today and billed today.
Got it. And what is the 12 crore write-off for? If you can elaborate.
Yeah. So look, some of the investments that we have, right? And as you know, that most of the investments in startup type of company, they have started now chasing a lot more about the profitable growth rather than growth at any cost. Right? Because of that, what happens is that whatever the initial projections were there when we invested and what the projections now would be, there will be a kind of a difference in that. And hence, as per the accounting standards that we follow, we need to revalue some of these assets And on revaluation, if we think that, look, you know, the projections have kind of gone down, then we need to take an impairment for that. So that's the impairment cost that.
Okay, great. And last question for Hitesh. So for both 99acres and Jeevan Sathi, the marketing expenses have gone down notably. So, and I know that in the past you have indicated that, you know, these are usually a function of competitive intensity. Like if competition spends, you need to spend too. So how do you see, is this an indication of competitive intensity coming down? Or like you think the brands are strong enough to, you know, generate good organic traffic?
But I think it's a bit of both. So in the Jeevan Sathi, we changed the model. We took a dip, a hit in on revenue because we went free, and that helped us acquire a lot of users. And we are continuing with that model. And of course, the market has also become a little more rational because we were spending a lot of money earlier and so were the others. Now, because we brought down our spending, maybe others are also spending a little less than what they would have spent otherwise. And in 99 acres, you know, it's still very competitive. But we believe this is the optimum level of spending. Beyond this may not help our business. And we would rather invest in other areas. You know, and so that seems to be the current thinking. Let's see how it goes.
Great. Well, all this is quite helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you, Nitin. The next question is from Deep Shah from BK Securities. Deep, go ahead and ask your question. Deep, you are there?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, so one question: that our IT billings have grown 11%, but that recruitment consultants is flat. And typically, we understand 2/3 of that recruitment consultant is IT. So how should we marry these two aspects? Is it that IT is a lot more because of GCCs or captives or any such color commentary that is there?
See, my sense of what's happening is that a lot of the IT companies had, you know, overhired, right? Because you know, for actually after COVID, there was a lot of digitalization worldwide, and there was a lot of demand for IT services. And you know, our business also grew like a hockey stick for a while at that time. And attrition rates were high, and people were hard to get. Salaries went through the roof, and as a result, when demand suddenly disappeared, you know, companies realized that they're overhired, and utilization rates at these companies, which used to average maybe, say, let's say 85% pre-COVID, you know, utilization rates fell. And for a long time, therefore, many of these companies did not hire or did not replace the people who were leaving. Headcount, in fact, went down at some of the IT services. I think we are now perhaps at a stage that where some of these companies are, you know, the benched, the utilization rates are back to near pre-COVID levels, and they have started replacing some people who are leaving. Maybe that is the reason why our IT sort of revenue started to look up a little bit. Of course, there's a base element as well, right? So, you know, our bases are much lower than what they were last year.
Right. So it's not wholly attributable to GCCs or captives. Obviously, there will be a good part of it there,
yeah,
but not wholly attributable. And no. Then,
yeah,
right. And then the trend that you highlighted, we've also, I mean, IT companies haven't been giving very rosy commentary, but the fact is that you, what you've said is visible. So then, fair. I know I'm not even asking for a number or guidance, but fair to say that with some hiring at IT companies already there, it's very comfortable to say that we've actually bottomed out, and therefore the recruitment side should also pick up maybe 1-2 quarters later, or what's your thought process there?
Well, I hope that is the case. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, because a lot will depend on, see, IT services, demand for IT services is more sort of indexed to what happens in the US, okay, than to what happens in India. So while a lot of Indian companies also hire IT talent, while, you know, startups also hire a lot of IT talent, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, that hiring is tiny, right? Of course, if GCCs grow, that will also help our business. So it's not just a function of what happens to IT services companies, also a function of what happens to GCC hiring, what happens to startup hiring, what happens to Indian companies who hire IT professionals. But the IT companies continue to be a big part of the puzzle. And maybe we bottomed out. Maybe we haven't. I can't say for sure. I mean, all I can say is that on our website, more IT jobs are being posted every day than was the case 3 months ago. On our website, more CVs are being viewed by IT companies than was the case maybe 3-4 months ago. Let's hope it sustains there.
Right. Right. Thanks, Adesh. The second is on this Notary 360 that you alluded to in your opening remarks. So is it something like the RMS thing which we had launched, I think, 4 or 5 years ago? Or is this something different, more comprehensive? You know, if you could just explain a bit more.
No, these are, see, basically, you know, we have a candidate service business called Fast Forward, where we write resumes for people. We help them fast forward their job search. So Naukri 360 is basically, you know, a suite of services which we've launched for job seekers to help them navigate the career market a little better. For example, we have some interview prep services. We have, you know, so we are experimenting with a bunch of new offerings. And the whole idea is to sort of in the long term position Naukri more as a career brand, not just as a job board. So that's really what Naukri 360 is all about.
And this is sold as a separate license, separate subscription, or it's a value add to say someone who's using your career database? Like,
no, these are separate... for job seekers. These are for job seekers.
Oh, these are for job seekers. Okay, sorry. Okay, understood. Thanks, Hitesh.
Yeah,
that's all from my side.
Thank you, Deep. Thank you so much. Next question is from Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Vivek, go ahead and ask your question.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So on recruitment, again, extending what Deep was asking related to a recovery, you did highlight that the activity on the portal is improving, and we see that in the JobSpeak database as well. Month on month, there is an improvement. Do you think that now as we enter fiscal 25, since the first 9 months of fiscal 24 had a decline in billing, is the base quite favorable, and perhaps the growth could accelerate from this low base? Or am I reading it wrongly and it's still very unclear? That's question one. Second one, on the recruitment side, now that you've started monetizing these products, have you thought through what the market size could be for some of these segments? And if you could help us understand, that'd be great. Thank you.
Your first question was around...
So around the base that
so the base of course,
first 9 months of fiscal 24 you had a recruitment billing decline.
Yeah, you're right. So the base is a lot lower, and therefore it should be possible to grow faster on this base if the market remains reasonable, right? You know, so see, if the economy continues to grow at 7% per annum, if demand for IT services starts coming back even moderately, you know, I think that should certainly help us grow a lot faster. I mean, in Q4 you saw that, right? Our billing growth was much higher than what was in the first three quarters of the last financial year. So if attrition rates start to pick up a little bit, if demand starts to come back a little bit, if the economy continues to be buoyant, you know, I mean, we should target higher growth in the core business. Then, of course, there are these newer sort of verticals, right? We've been investing in like iimjobs, like Hirist, like DoSelect. You know, these verticals, we would want them to grow even faster because, you know, there we have an opportunity to penetrate more customers. So penetration, there's a penetration opportunity as well in addition to so if Naukri has, you know, 120,000 customers, you know, and maybe 20,000 large customers or 15,000 large customers or 30,000 large customers, then the number of customers who use some of these offerings are a fraction of that number. So there's an opportunity to grow these products and services faster than the main Naukri business. So we, you know, and we're investing behind that. And like I said, we've also opened new offices because there are many more cities where we think we can get some business from. Now, of course, you know, it's not as if any one of them is going to move the needle substantially, but they will hopefully all add up over time and help us grow, you know, a few percentage points faster in the medium term.
Okay, understood. Very helpful. Just on recruitment itself, trying to understand the cost associated with some of the branch expansions. Is that now fully in the base, or will there be any meaningful pickup in costs? I understand you don't want to comment on the IPL spends, but other than that, is the fixed cost for the new infrastructure already in place?
We are expanding our sales team, so we're hiring more salespeople. Now, some of them have been hired, some are yet to be hired. Naukri headcount will grow next year over last year. But a lot of the hiring, and then we're also going to be investing a little more in data science and machine learning. So that headcount will also grow. So some of these costs, some of these people have already been hired, but some more will be hired over the next couple of quarters.
Okay, got it. Last one on the ad spends. You highlighted about the optimization of programmatic advertising on 99acres. Is it possible for you to walk us through the nature of ad spend that you currently have? How much of the 270 odd crore is brand advertising? How much is programmatic? And how does it look like across the various verticals that you presented? Thank you.
So we don't give out those details, and I really don't have the numbers with me right now either. But for competitive reasons, we would not want to give out that information.
Sure. Okay. Since you didn't answer this question, I'll slip in one more. Sanjeev, if you can discuss a little bit about the investment that you announced in Gramophone. This was one of the five odd promising businesses that you had articulated or discussed in 2022 when you expanded the AIF to new funds. Any comments here in terms of how it's scaling up? I can see that the revenue has declined in Gramophone. So look,
2021-22 was a different environment. Since then, the company has faced some headwinds. It is still early stage, still carrying early stage risk, but we continue to support it because we believe it has potential. This is an internal round where current investors are putting in money, although we are putting in the bulk of the money. With this, they're going to follow a break-even plan, and let's see how far they go with this.
Understood. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Vivek. Next question is from Nikhil Chaudhary from Nuvama. Nikhil, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Hitesh. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on strong quarter. So Hitesh, first question is on recruitment side. We have seen IT and non-IT now growing in double digit, while third party consultant still in single digit or flattish. Generally, even third party consultant indirectly are impacted by IT or non-IT hiring, right? So based on your experience, how much time it takes for a consultant to start delivering growth?
How much time before consultant market starts to recover?
Yeah. So like IT growing in double digit, non-IT growing in double digit, what will it take for, consultant to start, let's say, growing in double digit?
So, I think, a lot of this is a function of attrition, one, at IT companies, and two, whether they want to grow their headcount over the previous year. So if attrition numbers start to look up, at IT services companies, then and there is at the same time, and normally that happens when there is demand, and then they come under pressure to hire people faster. Okay. And that's when they sort of, they try whatever can help at that stage. So sure, that's when they start going to consultants. If they're under no pressure to hire, they would rather use portals and, be done with it, because they can take their own sweet time to hire. They're under no pressure. They're not losing business. So hiring through recruitment consultants start looking up, and demand starts looking up for IT services.
Sure, Ritesh. Yeah. Second is follow up on that. With IT, non-IT in double digit, that to quarter four last year had a higher base compared to next 12 months. Your Naukri job speak has shown even further improvement. IT for the first time has grown after 15 months on YY basis. And that too with the IT company reporting negative headcount, right? So is it fair to assume now the billing should be heading towards double digit, especially in Naukri?
I hope so. Yeah. Many a slip between the cup and the lip, and hard to predict the future. Like I said, we are seeing more activity on our platform. We are seeing more jobs being posted every day. Of course, the base has also corrected, right? So when I say more jobs are being posted, it's compared to a year ago, right? We are seeing more recruiter activity in terms of CVs being viewed. So, like I said, anecdotally, we are hearing from a lot of companies that their utilization rates have moved up. But at the same time, there is this whole overhang of the US election and of generative AI and what it could do and so many other things that it's very hard for us to call what the next few months are going to look like. Yeah. There's also demand for, certain skills, right? Like new age skills, like data science and machine learning and data engineering and AI, but they're a small part of the overall demand right now.
Yeah. May I just add one little nuance here? You see, a lot of our billing is indexed to how many clients we have. To some extent, it's how much they use it and what products they buy, but it is also number of clients we have. And what JobSpeak measures is total activity, which could be coming from fewer clients, more activity. So the correlation between JobSpeak and our billing growth is not perfect.
Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you so much. Good luck for coming, period.
Thank you, Nikhil. The next question is from Vijit Jain from Citi. Vijit, go ahead and ask your question.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, the non-IT side billing, Hitesh. So obviously last year, if I look at my notes, you had started to call out IT billings growth was challenging. It was still a decent growth here, and you attributed that to non-IT. So is it fair to say that here non-IT is moderate because of low base, or do you see the non-IT thing actually moderating? Because 11-12% is probably lower than what you've seen in the non-IT side in the last few quarters before, right?
Yeah, you're right. So non-IT growth has also slowed down from maybe a year and a half back. Some sectors continue to sort of do well. Growth in other sectors seem to have moderated a little bit. I also feel it's just because there is so much more talent supply in the market, because IT companies are not hiring, and IT ES companies are also not hiring, which are actually, which also do a lot of non-IT hiring. There's just more talent supply and it's easier to hire, even for non-IT companies. So somewhere, if IT hiring starts to pick up, then perhaps that will also impact, non-IT hiring somewhere. Because attrition rates may start going up for those companies as well. So it's, they're all, it's also connect, they're connected in some ways. You're right. I mean, IT hiring, non-IT hiring has slowed a bit from perhaps a year back. Growth in non-IT.
Fair enough. And thanks for, adding that color earlier about, the way IT companies are looking at hiring again. I think what you mentioned that they are now beginning to replace people who are leaving versus maybe not doing that earlier. So it looks like as you said, hopefully early stages of recovery here. I'm just wondering, in terms of the kind of people they're hiring, is there a different pattern to it now versus maybe 2-3 years back? In terms of, you know, are they hiring more in the more experienced end of the spectrum or in new skill sets? Any color you can give on what the hiring, where the hiring recovery is, and any color on that, that will be helpful.
Well, we haven't done a very detailed analysis, but clearly demand for certain skills is higher than it was maybe 3-4 years ago. So all these new age skills are in more demand. You know, AI, machine learning, data engineering, data science, modeling, analytics. These kind of skill sets are in you know, in more demand than, you know, the regular skill sets like Java and you know, Python and others. But we haven't done a very deep analysis of this yet.
Sure, no problem, Nitesh. My last question, Nitesh, just looking at the non-recruitment verticals, right? Obviously, if I look at year-on-year, combined, all three businesses have shown a pretty sharp decline in losses. And you've said already that in both property and the matrimonial business, your aim is to get to break even, right? And education is almost kind of trends towards break even in any case. So do you think you have a pretty clear line of sight to actually, you know, getting these non-recruitment businesses to zero and above overall? Is that how you would look at it, or would it still be just, you know, three different pieces?
We have a plan. We have a plan, and the team is working on a plan. But a lot will depend on how they execute. A lot will also depend on whether the market is supportive or not, and a lot will also depend on whether competition continues to be rational or not. So if all these things fall in place, then of course we would want to sort of target break even in all in our non-recruitment businesses.
And Nitesh, if I can just ask a quick follow-up to that. So I mean, if I just look at the property business, right, and given how your costs in that segment have grown, maybe if your revenues are about 25-30% higher versus now, which could be next year or maybe in 6 quarters, you could break even. Is that a fair assumption to make here?
So you're actually, a lot of the platforms, platform has been built. Normally these businesses have a reasonably high operating leverage. Brand is also sort of reasonably well established. You know, we have an existing customer base, renewals, there's a renewal business, you know, so if we are able to grow the 99acres business by 25-30% again this year, then, you know, we should be able to generate some cash this year. But fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean, see, we've had a good 4, 5, 6, 7 quarters in 99acres. But, you know, we are still, I mean, I don't want to go, and you know, I'm not, till we see, you know, see another 2-3 quarters of solid recovery, I would not want to comment on what the next year would look like.
Sure, I understand that. Yeah. Thanks, Nitesh. Thank you, everyone, for your time.
Thank you. Next question is from Abhishek from Nomura. Abhishek, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thank you for the chance. So it is just one question. If you could talk about, you know, the competitive intensity in the core recruitment business. You know, this quarter, we didn't see any slide on the traffic data, what you guys normally share. And whether this, you know, marketing spend, what you're increasing is more opportunistic given the, you know, IPL season, or you think the intensity has changed and we need to keep it for a longer period?
So this traffic data business, yeah, I tell you, this traffic data, you know, the data we get from independent sources is no longer relevant because most of our traffic is on the app. And app traffic is, you know, for others is hard to get. So we can release our traffic data, which is as per our sources. But it doesn't make any more sense to look at data from independent sources because mostly that data is... you know, website traffic data, and that is a very small proportion. In Jeevansathi, for example, 90%, 95% of traffic is on the app. In Naukri, maybe 70-80% of the traffic is on the app. In 99acres, 60-65% of the traffic is on the app. So app data has you know, app usage has really grown, and that's where most of the action is in all our platforms. And that data is hard to get for other players. We can release, we can give you our data, but you know, you won't be able to compare it with others. As far as advertising on IPL is concerned, like I mentioned, we've been working on a bunch of things in Naukri. We were out of media for a long time. We have launched some new offerings. We just you know, changed our logo, so the team really you know, felt that, and we want to grow our non-IT business, which is you need to reach more audiences, you need to reach more cities. So we felt that this, you know, it made sense to advertise on IPL. You know, and if we get a good response, then we would continue to, we will invest a little more in marketing going forward. If we get our 15-17% growth, then we'll be able to maintain margin. But, you know, we might take a hit in the short term if growth continues to lag for a while. But like I said earlier, see, we don't want to compromise on, we know that, you know, the market will come back at some point in time. You know, we don't want to compromise on what we think is important to grow in the business in the long run. We continue to invest in JobHai. We've been investing in JobHai for the last 3 years. You know, we will continue to invest for another few years before it makes money. We continue to build our capability in data science and machine learning. We think it's important in the long run. We continue to invest in adjacent sort of verticals. Even in marketing, since we've been out of media for a while, we just felt that it was, maybe it made sense for us to go back at least for some time. Hopefully growth will come back. Therefore, margins will again start looking up.
Thank you for that answer, Hitesh. Just one more, if you could talk about, your cash usage plan. No, now we're almost at 4,200 crore of cash. Last year was a benign year, from an opportunity point of view in the market. Valuations were very subdued in private markets. Yet we didn't, aggressively participate, maybe because there were lack of opportunities. And we are now still generating a lot of cash. So has the board thought about increasing the payout levels from here? And you have, highly liquid investments like Zomato and Policy Bazaar, which can be sold any moment if you need, cash strategically. So if you could answer that.
Jitin, you want to take a shot at it?
Yeah, sure. So look, you're right. We have something around 4,200 crore, cash on hand. But if you really kind of, slice and dice, the balance sheet, you'll see that we also have deferred revenue of almost like 1,200 crore. So that's a kind of a liability, in some ways that this is because of the negative working capital that we have. So we would like, on a conservative basis, we would like to keep that as a cash balance, because that's a working capital, that we have received money from, from the customers. Secondly, if you look at, 12 months kind of an expenses for us, it would be something around 1,500 crore. So if you really take these two items, out, then, we are not really left with, very high amount of cash. The third is that, look, we are always open for any opportunistic, inorganic activity or any, investments in the, in these strategic startups. And, none of the digital, good digital assets are, cheaper, nowadays. So keeping all that in mind, we think that, yes, we have a sufficient amount of cash. Cash is a central to our part of our strategy. Having said that, we have increased our payout, we have just announced a final dividend, and we have increased a little bit of that. Despite the fact that our profitability was kind of flattish, we have increased the dividend, which gives us a signal, in some ways. But we think right now we have a kind of a right size, cash balance on hand.
May I just add to that? You see, what cash in the bank gives you is the confidence to take some calls that you might not have taken in times of crisis. And there have been two very specific occasions when we have done this, and the cash in the bank has helped us take those calls, giving us the confidence. The most recent example is, April, June 2020, when, there was a lockdown, there was COVID, There was no light in the tunnel. There was no, you know, cure. There was no vaccine. There was no nothing. And Naukri billings D grew by, I think, 44 or 48% that quarter YOY, right? And we had cash. And, you know, there were several companies who downsized and let go of people. And we were faced with that choice. And, you know, it was a cash in the bank. So the stress test that, you know, Chintan did and then presented to the board and to Hitesh and me was that, you know, the question we posed him was that, okay, Chintan, if revenue goes to zero, if marketing expenditure is zero and increments are zero, how long can the company last on the current cash balance? And the answer he came back with was 3 years. Now, that answer gave us the confidence to not sack people. And, you know, it'd be terrible, you know, apart from the fact that it'd be completely contrary to our core values that look, people have built this company. And, you know, in a time of crisis like COVID, if you let them go, as do their tense about COVID and they're very stressed. And if you take their jobs away, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to do. And from a business perspective, the bounce back after a couple of quarters was so good and so great that because we hadn't sacked people, we were able to take advantage of it. And for a long, long time, Naukri really grew very fast. And we were able to get that growth because we had not let go of people. So, you know, cash allows you to take those calls and, you know, we think it's okay.
Got it. Thank you so much, Chintan, Sanjeev and Hitesh, and all the best for fiscal 25.
Thank you so much. We have some questions in the chat box, so we'll take those now.
Maybe I can read it out. Hitesh, yeah. First question is for you. What specific initiatives have led to the growth in billings for Jeevan Sathi? That's a question for you, Hitesh.
I think I did answer that. See, we went free some time back and we took a hit on our revenue. And because we were giving a lot of stuff for free, now we've started tightening the screws on what is free and what is not. You know, we've gained share in the last couple of years, traffic share. We've got many more people who are active on the platform than earlier. We are enabling more matches than earlier. And therefore, we've started charging for some stuff, which was perhaps free earlier. I mean, it's still free. I mean, but some stuff is not as free as it was earlier, right? And that's led to this growth in billing in Jeevan Sathi.
The next question is for Sanjeev. Any plan to reduce your stake in PB FinTech or Zomato in near future?
Look, I mean, the board is always open to a discussion around this. But what we believe is that there's plenty of growth left and value creation left in both these companies. And for the moment, we would like to hold and not sell.
Sanjeev, an additional question is, can you give an update on some investee companies and also an update on performance of AIF?
So, look, the AIF performance we don't go public with, but let me say that there's a good team managing it well, both all the AIFs. And yes, like is all AIFs, you know, it's a portfolio. There will be some good companies, some middling companies, and some not so good companies. Overall, I think we are okay, but I cannot be more specific than that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sanjeev.
The next question is from Pradyut from ICICI Securities. Pradyut, go ahead and ask your question. Pradyut, you are there? Maybe we move to the next question. The next we have Nitin Sharma from Money Control Pro Research. Nitin, go ahead and ask your question. Nitin,
you want to?
Doesn't seem to be.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So, Hitesh, real estate listings look kind of flattish in terms of YOY basis. Would you say there is a scope in terms of volume growth from here and how you are placed versus the competition in terms of pricing?
So, see, what happens in a good real estate market is that real estate sells faster. Perhaps what's happening is that one, there's not enough supply, and two, whatever is put out is sort of moving faster than earlier. You know, in a bad real estate market, sometimes you can take years to sell. Sometimes you can take, you know, many months to sell. In a market which is hot, I mean, stuff tends to move faster, and supply is also sort of limited. Can we grow supply from here? So if more supply hits the market, definitely, because we'll get our share of that. Of course, we're also working on, you know, gaining share. You know, in some geographies we are, you know, in some markets we are very strong. In some geographies we are relatively weak. So we're also working on improving our share in certain geographies. And if that happens, then of course we'll end up getting more supply in those localities and geographies as well.
And on the pricing side, what kind of competition you're seeing in terms of pricing? A general color would be helpful.
So, see, the real estate business actually is, you know, the so we make money from new homes, we make money from new launches, we make money from rental, we make money from resale, we make money from on commercial listings. In the new home part of the business, our real competition is actually, you know, portals like, you know, Facebook and Google, and the price is really set by them, and we are price takers. So, you know, in that market, and in the resale and rental market, we are a leader, but of course we have competition from, you know, players like Magic Bricks and Housing. And there we believe there is an opportunity to take prices up further, because we believe that we're creating a lot of value for our customers. Of course, prices of real estate have also moved up substantially. So if you just look at the value of a lead, you know, if real estate prices are up 20% year on year, for example, you know, and we are still generating the same number of leads as earlier, the value of those leads is up 20%. So, but you know, you don't take prices up in one go. So we'll slowly and steadily take up prices on the resale side of the business, as we deliver more and more value to our customers.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nitin. So, Vinit, that was the last question we had online with us.
Thank you, Anand. We can now, I guess, conclude the call. Thank you, everyone.
I think there are one or two questions on. There's one last question of Disha Patel.
Sorry. Hitesh, it's a follow-up on Jeevan Sathi. Did the growth in Jeevan Sathi driven by order value or the number of orders, and what will be the strategy going forward?
So it's both. You know, like I said, see, we are charging for some services we were not charging for earlier, and we've launched some new services which were not there earlier. And so there are you know, so and the number of users on the platform has also grown. So we are therefore getting both many more customers than earlier, and some customers are also buying more services than earlier. I don't have the breakup.
Thank you, Hitesh. Hitesh, that was it. Maybe we can just conclude this call. Thank you, everyone, for attending.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much, everyone. We can go.